Blind Cool Tech 86, August 26th, 05. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. In today's show, we're going to take a look at the new release of the Google Desktop Search tool. While Google released version 2.0 this week, the program is still in beta. Before we get to that, let me turn my level down just a tad here. I seem to be clipping. Before we get to that, though, let's go through our voicemail and email. Got just a couple of voicemails, so we'll go ahead and take care of those first.
Hi, Larry. Bill Ballew here. I'm trying to catch up with all these new podcasts since you got back. And I'm noticing in iPodder that, and I don't know what it has to do with. I've had it happen with other feeds where I'm getting all these feeds and there'll be several copies of the same thing happening. Some of them say that there's zero bytes or part, they're downloading, but they keep going on and on and on, or it's sitting there, not progressing. And that's happening with Blind Cool Tech today. There's several of them there, and some of them are older shows, so I don't know if it has to do with the Our Media thing you talked about, but I'm wondering if you have any idea if there's something I need to change in my settings, or what would be causing these downloads to kind of get stuck and just sit there and have three or four versions of the same thing showing as downloading at the same time. Hope that question's clear, and sure glad you're back, and I'm really enjoying your podcasts as I always have. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill, I do know exactly what was going on. Hopefully this is cleared up now. This turned out to be a case of a loose nut on the keyboard, that loose nut being me. What happened was that I forgot to update my XML feed on the APH server, so it was basically, well, no, that's not exactly what happened. What happened was my script to generate the XML feed had incorrect information in it because I hadn't had all the shows up, and there were about two or three things wrong. But what I've done now is I've used this TrackIt program to filter out the ones that I don't have re-uploaded yet. So the XML feed should be fine now. And I apologize for the confusion. This whole moving thing has been not only an incredible amount of work, but a pain in the butt for you guys too, and I do apologize for that. Okay, let's go to the next voicemail.
Hey Larry, Don Barrett. I was listening to the podcast on reorganization of the podcast, and was really impressed about that HTA application that you've written with Visual Basic Script using project management, project management software. You know, there's so little accessible project management software out there. You guys might consider marketing that, because I think a lot of blind folks who need to monitor numerous issues related to projects would really, really benefit from a piece of software like that. I don't know if you guys have ever thought of it, or whether it's too APH specific and you'd have to refurbish it, but man, that's just an area where, you know, we've tested a lot of that stuff for accessibility, and it's such a nightmare because you've got grids and all kinds of other non-accessible modes of presentation that really cries out for a program like you were talking about that you wrote. So anyway, just a word of encouragement. I think it'd be a neat thing, and I know we use that stuff here, and it's difficult for a lot of people to use. So anyway, just a thought, and take care. Catch you later. Bye.
Okay, thank you for the comments there, Don, as usual. We have actually thought about turning that into a product. It's not at all APH specific. It's very generalized. In fact, it was, like I mentioned, general enough to be able to use it as a sort of a keeper of my podcast, and also the apologize for that clipping there, and also for the new podcast that we're going to be doing at APH. So those, you know, we just entered in as two more projects, and we're able to perform all kinds of neat functions with them. In fact, in I just discovered, and you know, this is a sign of a good tool, not to brag or anything, but I just discovered a new use for one of the fields in the application, which was the due date field. So my podcasts, my individual shows, had previously been all located in one spot. Well, since this move to Our Media, it looks like almost every show goes into a different folder, and I haven't figured out how to change that behavior, although I did get a ton of shows up into a nice BCT05 folder, and I'm going to pursue getting more of them in there. But the point is, I used the due date field for the actual URL, or URI, I should say, of the individual file that's associated with that particular issue. And the issue in the case of this project is an individual show. So the tool is very flexible. One thing I'd be interested in knowing is what are the kinds of things some of the others of you need in project tracking software. I've actually had a few inquiries from a few people about this. So this may, you know, it may become a possibility. I know it's turned out to be a really nice tool for us in terms of not only keeping track of all the things going on, but generating reports about it, and especially as a tool, a memory tool, so that when you need to see if you've dealt with an issue, you know, you may think, well, this sounds a little bit familiar. It's pretty easy to go back and find where you had dealt with that specific issue in some detail earlier. Okay, we actually had one more voicemail, and I somehow have lost it. The caller asked that we do a comparison between JAWS and Window Eyes, and I apologize for that. I don't even remember who it was now. You're certainly welcome to send that back in, and we'll play it on the air. That's actually a great idea. It would probably take a few shows to represent an unbiased view between the two screen readers. I will say there's a lot of things I like about both of them, and a few things that I dislike about each of them. One of the things I really wish Window Eyes had is this ability to temporarily silence the speech. And I know JAWS implements it with the shift key. And actually, I think I might have been the first guy to come up with this idea back in the DOS days with the ASAP screen reader that I had written. And I realize that you can do this in Window Eyes if you're in the read all command, but it really needs to be everywhere. And that's the way it is in JAWS. And it was in ASAP as well. And I don't want to get into all the specifics of what this one does and what that one does, but, you know, I've found cases where Window Eyes will perform in a particular situation a lot better than JAWS will, and there's a couple of things that JAWS does that drives me nuts. But it would certainly be a welcome thing and a very useful thing for someone to sit down and objectively compare the two programs. You know, neither one of them, or any program for that matter, can be absolutely perfect, but I think it would be a very valuable tool. I agree with you that to compare and contrast the two products and let the user decide for themselves without the pressure of a salesman there or whatever. Okay, we're going to go through some emails and then we'll get to the Google desktop search tool.
Master volume. Track it blind. iPod or pod pod.
Well, I should have.
T. Inbox Outlook Express.
There's Inbox.
Inbox Outlook. Hi, Larry. Just before your site moved, I started downloading some of your podcasts to burn to a CD for a friend who's still using dial-up. Now I'm looking forward to seeing the old show links back on your new site. One detail which I'd like to see on your site is the file size for each show. That would make it a little easier to select, or not select, certain items for download at a particular time or not at all. Thanks, Butch Elrod.
Okay, Butch, good suggestion, and it is actually underway. That's a great idea. Actually caused me to add a new couple of features to the Track-It software to, have it take a look at the size, and I'm putting that right in the little information I provide with each show. That was also useful to get for this, this idea where I want to be able to use this without having the shows around. So once I get the size and the URL for a particular show, I don't need to have it around anymore. I'm gradually getting them back up there. So, in fact, most of them are back up there. It's just taking me a while to catch up with them. I've got a couple of small issues, but we'll have them worked out. I'd say within the next 2 weeks we'll have them all back up there. By the way, we're using Kate from nextup.com to read our email today. Thank you, Kate.
Hello, Larry. My name is Jeff and I live in the Grass Valley area in Northern California. I have been listening to your podcasts for about 6 weeks or so. Thanks for putting all the effort into making them enjoyable, instructive, and informative. I have just visited your new website location and saw your comment about getting older podcasts there over time. Does this also apply to your two OPML files? I would like to see what you have assembled in them, but do not currently find any links on your site. Thanks. Also, you mentioned you use an accessible ID3 tag editing program, which expands the properties giving access to an editing field. What is that program called? Thanks for this, too. Jeff Bottom.
Okay, Jeff. A few minutes ago added a link to opmls.zip, and once that other show gets in there that had the links to the individual OPMLs gets cleared and ready, I'll put that back on there too. But you can download the opmls.zip, and there's two OPML files in there. And of course, those of you who are new to the show, what you do with those is unzip that file, and it'll have two files in it, bestofthebest.opml and blindpodcasters.opml. And what those are is a group of shows, so you can use them, you can import them into iPodder. So you would go to your file, you would open iPodder, go to your file menu, select Import OPML, and then pick one of those files or both of them. And then, you know, I realize you're probably not going to want every one of them, but it's very easy to get rid of them in iPodder. I also suggest, while you're fluctuating, adding new shows and getting rid of some, that you not have iPodder begin scanning as soon as you load it, because I've noticed a lot of times what you want to do is actually just open up the program for the purpose of adding a feed into it or removing one from it or so forth. So the tag editor that I'm using is called AutoShell, and I believe the URL is at autoshell.com. It's very cool and pretty darn accessible. It's probably the easiest tag editor that I've seen. What I'm really looking for, though, I've mentioned several times, is a tag editor that's an ActiveX control so that I can have those tags automatically placed into my shows from the TrackIt program that I'm using. So I would, I've seen a couple of them on, you know, doing Google searches or Googling, but the ones that I've found, one of them was from some company, Something Fish, and when you go to it, you actually get a fish site. I don't think that's the right one. And then the couple others that I found, you drill down and finally get to where you're going to download the file, and no go. Something, 404 page not found, or one thing or another. So if someone has a lead on that, please do let me know.
I enjoy your podcasts and would like to see if you can fix the link to the Send to Tips link. I get the 404 page not found error with it. Thanks. Leonard Salinas.
Okay, Leonard, that is fixed indeed.
Message. Hello, Larry. I was pretty impressed with your description of the project tracking software that you use there at APH. Is there any chance that software is now, or will be one of your products that we can buy? Thanks. Bill Bellybottom.
Hey, Bill. Yes, it's not now, but there's a chance it could be. We'd have a little bit of work to do to it, just to make it a little more robust. It's used internally now, so it doesn't have to really account for every possible situation. But, yeah, there is a good chance of that. I've had several people ask about that, so we'll see what we can do along those lines.
Hi, I'm hoping the following information will help Edward Alonzo, but the message...
Okay, I'll skip that one.
Thanks for that message, Larry. I did receive it already, not sure highway it came back to him, I got it.
Alright, that was...
Larry, electric igniter igniting a burner on a gas stove. So glad you are back, and up again. John Bottom.
Well, John, so the subject line of this message actually said mystery sound number two, so an electric lighter lighting on a gas stove. Let's listen to the sound again.
Inbox up, studio recorder two.
One more time. You are so close. And technically, you're correct, and congratulations. Actually, it was a grill outside, but same principle. Good catch. That, it's so out of context that it's difficult to get that. So congratulations.
Larry replays mystery.
Let's see.
Larry, electric igniter.
Let me see.
Studio recorder grill inbox Outlook Express. Inbox Outlook Express. Forwarded. John Howison.
John Howison. Okay, congratulations, John. Good guess. Good job.
Larry.
All right, next email.
Hi, Larry. I'm just curious. Are you still doing podcasts on the way to and from work, etc., while the site is down? Am getting through the ones you have done recently, and am looking forward to more when you are able. Adam Morris, Department of Immigration.
Absolutely, Adam. You just hadn't got to the ones that I did yet. I did one 2 days in a row, and I thought I'd give you guys a break. Jeff Bishop's making fun of me over there for loading y'all down with so many of them at a time. I apologize for that. But I really did miss you guys while I was gone, and I'm so glad to be back and looking for new ways to expand the horizons of the show, and just loving doing it. I think there's some tremendous possibilities with this means of disseminating information.
Hi, Larry. Glad you're back with us. I love those binaural microphones. I also love how you walk along your way to work, whacking off troublesome branches as you go. Wonder if the city would give you a small landscaping salary? Not likely. Grin. Regarding the name, Bluncool Tech. Regardless of the show content, I think the name fits. After all, the overall content is technically blind life. Or, elements of life from the perspective of a blind person. We also enjoyed the cast you did on the farm. Chicken farming has become very technical. Interesting. Have yet to hear some of the others you did during your absence. Keep up the good work. And thank you. Lois Goodine.
Okay, Lois. Well, thank you so much for the comments. I'm glad you enjoyed the chicken farming episode. And, yeah, that's a lot of chickens, and it has become very technical. It's interesting. I remember when we first moved to Arkansas, oh, it must have been in 73 or so. I was still in high school. And there were a lot of chicken farms in the area, and it was all manual work at the time. So, yep, they've come a long ways.
Hello, Larry. I'm a recent subscriber to the Blind Cool Tech podcast, and am really enjoying it. Yesterday, I listened to the show where you discussed the Dvorak keyboard layout, and I was really fascinated to learn it. At present, I'm a university student, and being able to type more efficiently would be a tremendous asset while taking notes during lectures. To my dismay, I have discovered that JAWS for Windows is not compatible with this layout, even though the layout works perfectly once JFW is unloaded from system memory. I am curious to learn of any keyboard system which could hook into Windows below the JAWS level. Does WindowsWise permit the use of the Dvorak layout? Today, you were also asking about windscreens for binaural microphones. I own two sets of binaural microphones for use with my mini disc recorder, one from Mini Gear Labs and one from Squid Audio, both of which sound excellent. To solve the problem of wind sensitivity, I just picked up a set of windscreens from Radio Shack. These are designed for their lapel microphones, but because you have to expand the hole into which the microphone is inserted, they can probably fit any binaural microphone. A single set of four costs $3, so it wouldn't take much out of a recording budget. I have never seen the mix you've described, so I don't know if these would fit or not. Thanks for a great show, and I look forward to future episodes. Stephen Clower.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for the information about the windscreens, and let me give you the skinny on Dvorak. Well, first, you're absolutely right. It is a fantastic time saver. If I could convert one person to Dvorak, I will feel fulfilled. Simply because I believe in it so much. What you're seeing with Jaws, Dvorak actually works fine. It's just that Jaws apparently does not use the key mappings. They're using the direct hardware approach for their commands. So all your programs work fine while Jaws is running. It's just that when you give a Jaws command, you have to do it in the old keyboard layout, which is really confusing, and it's especially frustrating in when you're using scripts, because those work the same way. I can't tell you how many times it drives me nuts. I'll be in Word and I hit Control P to print, and the Dvorak P happens to be the QWERTY R, so I hit Control P to print and it says write justified. So I always have to hit the bypass key and then print. Now you don't have that problem at all with WindowEyes. Even the commands in WindowEyes work fine in Dvorak because they're using the key mapping, the virtual key codes, in the WindowEyes command set. And this is why you use virtual key codes, so that you have the flexibility to change keyboard layouts, languages, blah, blah, blah. For those of you Linux users who were out there, the SpeakUp program has the same problem as Jaws does, and that's something that APH has become involved in the SpeakUp project a little bit, and that's one of the things I hope to address with that particular excellent piece of software. So to clarify a little bit, you can use Dvorak fine. It's just that if you're using a program that uses scripts, the cut and paste in Internet Explorer is another excellent example. It's almost enough to make you want to, throw your hands up and say, I'll just go back to QWERTY, but it's not quite that bad. So what you can do, like in my case of printing, I can hit the Jaws, the Jaws bypass key, which is insert 3, and then hit my Control P, and it works fine.
Hey Larry, good to see you're making some headway with our media. I uploaded a couple of files before our trip, and we'll be getting back at it later today. I was just thinking, with the whole R Media and the Coral Project stuff, why don't you think about getting a .com domain, and just be done with it? Gee, of course, you'll need a new name for the show first, unless you decide to keep the current one. www.blindcooltech.com would certainly be easier to remember, for example. Or, how about Walkin' the Dog? Or Kentucky Fried Thinkin'? Jake and the Man would work. Or how about? Well, there are lots of possibilities. Perhaps you could have a contest and unload some old gear that you have kicking around as the prize. One of the guys on This Week in Tech did that. He offered a box of old computer junk as a prize and folks jumped at it. Just some thoughts. I've been having a poke at the music side of things and should have something for you in days. Of course, knowing what the show is called might make that job a wee bit easier. But then again, I do know the general idea, so the name shouldn't really make a big difference.
Well, cool. That's from Jim Fiddler of the Republic of Avalon Radio podcast show. Actually, Jim and the rest of you listeners, the new website actually is called blindcooltech.com. So I would also actually like to request that you change your feeds. I'm probably going to have to maintain that old feed for a little while. I've actually tried using the .ht access file, and doesn't seem to be working, even though we're on an Apache server. So if one of you Apache gurus knows what the heck could be going on there, I'm using the redirect command in that file. But anyway, on to I digress. I love those names that you suggested there, Kentucky Fried Thinking, and especially Jake and the Man. The only thing with Jake and the Man is what happens post-Jake. You do have to think about that. I've actually been through 5 of them already, so I plan on having Jake around for another 10 years or so, but I plan on doing this show for another 50. Thanks, Jim, and good hearing from you.
Untitled. Dear Value GoDaddy Custom. Domain name register. Oh, yeah. Thank you for your order.
Let's skip past.
Hi, Larry.
Those.
I love the podcast. I pasted the XML link to the show found on the printing house page into a Potter, but it isn't downloading any of the shows. Can you suggest something to try? My other podcasts are downloading correctly. The other suggestion I have is to request that you do another tutorial of the Olympus DS2, because the comparison didn't come out well, because you were in traffic with that internal microphone. I bought the Olympus, but I'm having trouble erasing, and I don't have a good understanding of the menu system. Thanks and keep up the good work, Judy Watford Bottom.
Okay, Judy. Good idea. I can sure do that. I like that Olympus in some situations. It produces some excellent recordings. My only thing now is that, I've discovered this whole idea of trying to avoid the unencoding and re-encoding of MP3, and unfortunately the Olympus uses WMA as its native format. I can help you out with erasing messages, though. If you count down the 4 buttons on the right, the buttons on the right, count down to the 4th one, and then just press 4, 3, 2. So what you're doing is hitting delete, and you're pressing 3rd one down to move from no to yes, and then you're pressing the 2nd one to actually go ahead and delete the message. But yeah, we can go through that again, go through the menus, and good idea.
Important information from GoDaddy. Hi, Larry. I really love your podcasts, especially the ones where you walk to and from work. I walk along with you on my treadmill. When you were on vacation, I wasn't as motivated to walk. Please keep them coming. Kathy from Little Rock Bottom.
Oh, cool, from Little Rock. Well, hey, Kathy. All right. Maybe I'll do another one this morning after we get through with this one. I got a lot of stuff to talk with you guys about, and I just feel a little self-conscious about overwhelming you with too much of these or too much information. So I am aware of that, so I'll try not to do too many. I've got to admit, I don't mean to brag or anything, but I've been listening to some sound-seeing tours of... I know you weren't talking about sound-seeing tours, but I've been listening to a few from some other podcasts, and these ones we're doing with the binaural mics are very, very good. And what makes the ones that me or actually any other blind person are doing is that the person who is... with you is actually they make more of a point to describe things to a listening audience, since they're actually describing things to you. So really kind of a perfect combination, that is, a blind person with a sighted guide doing a podcast of a sound seeing tour. So very, very interesting and unique situation.
Hey, I was going through the Blind Call Tech episode on the Clinton Library Tour, and what the heck were you doing, recording in the...
Okay. I goofed. I'm actually not going to play this, but I know I'm a chicken. I'm really pushing the limits here, and what better place for controversy than the Clinton Library? What happened was, let me give you a little background. When I start one of these recordings, I just, you know, I lock the thing and I take my hands off it, and there are, sometimes there are places where you have to cut out, and in a lot of these, you know, I'll start them in the car before we get this there so that we're ready to go, and I cut all that initial information out of there. And then there's other times, like when you go to the bathroom or something like that, that you cut the information out. Well, I did cut those pieces out of that particular sound seeing tour, but I uploaded the wrong file. Well, what happens is I cut them out and then you join them back together with these two programs I got, I found on the web called Direct MP3 Splitter and Direct MP3 Joiner, which are both very accessible, by the way. I will have to demonstrate those to you at some point. So between the madness of trying to learn those two new programs, trying to upload with a new technique and a new place, I somehow ended up sending the wrong file up there. So there's accidentally a scene where in the men's room. Now, I mean, it's nothing X-rated or anything. It's just something you probably don't want to listen to. So I do apologize for that. As soon as I got this message, I pulled that down, listened to it, and groaned. And then I went ahead and sent the correct file up there. So I'm sure a few of you, I've actually heard that a few of you have caught that little blooper. So try to forgive me for that, and we'll do our best not to let that kind of thing happen again. Or maybe we will just push the envelope a little and try a few other things. I'll bet a lot of you ladies had never been in the men's room before, huh? No, it's really, I can appreciate the sensitivity of the situation, so I do apologize.
Hi, Larry. I'm wondering if your mystery sound too is perhaps a toad or some such critter catching another critter for dinner. Just a crazy thought. Lois Goodine.
Hey, Lois, good guess, but actually, have a listen to it again, and I think you'll hear that it's what we mentioned earlier, an electric igniter starting a gas stove, or a grill in this case. So, yeah, good guess, though. Appreciate those.
Hi, Larry. Just wondering what your impressions are of the Gizmo Projex VIP solution? I tried it out a while back and found it has some strange issues, which now may be resolved. Also, just wondering if you could tell us a bit more about that VTGO program from Cisco? We're using Cisco phones at work, but I'm looking for a software phone solution like VTGO so I can tell where the support help desk calls are coming from. There's two phone queues and each queue displays a different message on screen, and on these Cisco hardware phones, I can't see the hardware phone's display, so this VTGO could be what I'm after. How accessible is it, Larry? Keep up the great work with the show, and I hope you'll have more sound seeing tours and cool content. Thanks again. Bottom.
Okay, that's from Scott Rakowski in Australia. Yeah, I can do the VTGO. It's very accessible. In fact, there's an accessibility tab in the configuration, and it's one of those cases where they almost made it a little too accessible in some cases, but it works, and it works well. So yeah, I'd be glad to do
Tom,
that. I forgot what else
from
you said.
Cisco? We're using... There's two phone queues and cuts. I tried it out. Solution? Just wondering what your impressions are.
Oh, Gizmo. I don't know. I'll have to give it more time. I've only played with it for a few hours. I will keep you posted, though. I actually uninstalled it when I was having some trouble with one of my other programs crashing. You know, that's one of the things you do when you get some odd behavior that wasn't there before. You kind of think, well, what have I done since then? Because this was working before. And one of the things I had done was installed Gizmo, so I've temporarily have it uninstalled, but I will put it back and give her a try.
Hi, Larry. I'm tossing up whether to purchase SoundForge 8.0 or the Studio Recorder product from a PH. Is the Studio Recorder product just for those folks who wish to produce Daisy books, or can it be used for anyone who wishes to record WAVE or MP3 files at home for their podcasts, etc.? Any chance of you possibly doing a podcast on the basics of Studio Recorder and a quick demo of how to record a basic file and how to edit parts out of a file? I'm sure others, as well as myself, would find this particular product very interesting indeed. Thanks again, and we'll chat to you later. Bottom.
Absolutely. Great idea. Just in case you don't know it, Jonathan Mosen actually did an ACB main menu episode about Studio Recorder and provided some pretty good information and some live demonstration. There is a link to it on the Studio Recorder page at the APH website, so you may want to go over there and check that out. Just go to aph.org/tech and select the Studio Recorder link, and I believe it's actually probably in the documentation. It could be at the top, but check it out, and if you have some trouble finding it, let me know, and we'll give you the direct. Well, I think I might actually remember the direct URI to it. It would be aph.org/tech/sr-line. Oh, it's either info or demo.mp3. I want to say demo. So try that out. sr-line-demo.mp3. There is a link to it too on the Studio Recorder page. But yeah, I can go into probably more detail than what Jonathan Mosen did in a show, and we'll be glad to do that. Great idea.
Greetings, Larry. I heard about you.
Oops, I forgot to answer, Scott.
Hi.
Studio Recorder is actually not meant for Daisy recording, although you can use it for that. It actually is a WAVE recorder, so you can definitely use it for podcasts. I must admit, it's probably a bit expensive. You know, it costs $200, so there's other things that probably would work just as well for cheaper, but it will definitely work for podcasts and work real well.
Greetings, Larry. I heard about your podcast while attending the UP convention. When I got back to Seattle, I first tried downloading some of your programs the old way, then I installed a Potter subscribed to the podcast. I even transferred some of your programs to my brand new book cohort purchased at the AF booth. I got real excited about this technology, made a presentation on the book cohort to my fellow visually impaired employees at the EARS Seattle call site. They expressed some reluctance in listening to a synthesized voice for pleasure reading, but I explained that just like when reading print or braille, your brain will fill in any needed details. You soon forget that you are listening to a synthesizer, become absorbed in the story. I'm not sure they believed me, but they were impressed with everything the book cohort could do. I would have used your podcasts as part of my presentation, but that was the weekend of the move to the new server. Since the move, I have been unsuccessful in retrieving any episodes. My subscription list shows the message "no episodes found." I used the Windows copy-paste commands to copy the link to a Potter. Do you have any idea what the problem might be? My first screen reader was a program called a Zap. Have you heard of it? Grin, what was the name of the fellow who provided technical support? I remember hearing that he had disabilities due to a serious auto accident. This had affected his speech. He had a soft, modest way of talking. His technical support was always first rate. I'm looking forward to your next podcast. Stuart.
Hey, Stuart. I sure do remember ASAP. Remember it well. I actually had to do a little technical support on it today to get it installed for a guy that was using it under Windows XP. And, boy, it's been so long since I've even used it. I told him he was probably talking to the wrong guy, but we were able to get it going, no trouble. That guy's name is Dennis Brown, and he actually didn't get injured in an auto accident. He was in the Army Rangers and was injured in an explosion. He actually lost both hands and his eyesight and a lot of his hearing. And you're right, he did some top-notch technical support for us. I understand that he is working with JAWS right now, writing scripts for Freedom Scientific. He also runs the Blind Programming mailing list, and I believe Blind Programming website as well. I'll try to get some URLs for that, URIs, I should say. I keep... just to point them to you because they're point them out to you because they're pretty good resources. Man, I am losing it.
Tom,
what was the first thing?
Your program's the old way then.
Oh yeah, the BCT .xml. I suspect that that's working now. One thing that I'd like to get all of you to do is change your feed to http://www.blindcooltech.com/bct.xml, and there is a link for that at blindcooltech.com. Man, that's a lot easier than saying aph.org/tech/bct.htm. Cool, I should have done this a long time ago. If that XML feed, actually the old one should be working now too. There were a few days there where it wasn't, but should be up and running now.
Hi Larry, great to see BCT back and running. I think the secret sound is you trying to start your lawnmower. Adam Morris depart.
Good guess, Adam. Good guess. That's not it, though. I mean, as you heard, it's the grill lighting. I like getting this feedback from you guys from email and these mystery sounds. Got an idea for a few more of them, and if you guys have a mystery sound that you would like to submit to let me guess or the rest of our listeners guess, please do so. You can attach it to an email, blindcooltech@gmail.com. So be interested in doing that.
Thanks for signing up for your musiciansfriend.com account.
Oh yeah, I ordered a new microphone today, and I keep wanting to call it XML, but it's MXL 990. Musician's Friend has these on sale for $59, and it includes $59.99 actually, and it includes a windscreen. We ordered one at work, and I'd love the sound of it. I think I did one of the shows with it, in fact, and it's got a. It's not exactly a flat response, but it sounds really, really good. And I've been listening to other podcasters. And quite a few of them are using that that particular MXL microphone, and this is a great price on it. It's a funny-looking microphone. Also, speaking of MXL, they have one called the MARK that might be interesting to check out too. It's $99 microphone, and it goes from an XLR jack on the microphone to an eighth inch. And it wasn't clear whether it was stereo or mono jack, so that you could plug it directly into an iRiver. The interesting thing about this too, though, is that it has a 9-volt battery in the microphone, so you don't actually need to provide phantom power to the mic. So that might be worth checking out. If any of you do get one of those, let us know. Send us a little review about it.
Larry Squichan, thanks for placing your order.
Well, okay.
Thank you for your order with...
Well, how many times?
Hello, Larry. Well, I've lost the OPML files you used to have on your site. I went to go get them, and they weren't there. Is there any way that I can get them again? Thanks. Shane Nova.
Yep, Shane, they are there now. At least the zip file is.
I'd like for us to try this for an intercom system here at work. Larry's...
Oh, yeah. I sent out a Gmail request. Google Talk. I wanted to try it out with a few people at work, and I didn't have a great deal of success with it. When I got home this evening, I listened to, and I say this evening, it's now about 3 in the morning on the 26th. When I got home yesterday evening, I heard that Jeff Bishop's show covered Google Talk and the Google Desktop as well, but I had already planned to cover it, and I wanted to show you a couple things about it that he didn't mention, and maybe he doesn't even know about. But Google Talk, I hope there's some keys in there. Keith tried to call me today, and I couldn't answer the thing. Well, I didn't have my microphone hooked up anyway, but if I did, I couldn't have answered it anyway. So I'm going to have to hope they'll do a little better with the accessibility on Google Talk. Google Talk, by the way, is a program like Skype or Project Gizmo, or Gizmo Project, I guess it's called, where you can use your PC as a phone, voice over internet protocol. And that works really well, and this was supposed to be some pretty good quality on this Google Talk. And I thought, given the simplicity and elegance of a lot of the other Google software, that this was really going to be an excellent solution. But alas, I was wrong.
Daniel Creasy has accepted. Hi, Larry. Kevin Doucette here. I am enjoying your show lots. I have known of you, and spoke with you from time to time about tech stuff over the years. It is great to get to know the man behind all the great work. Keep the podcasts up. I have a couple of questions. I heard a show where you mentioned a service that is free and provides a way for voicemail to be emailed to you. I thought you said K7 offered this, but I can't Google it up. I thought you meant Kathy Seven Williams and contacted her, but she offers no such service. Can you tell how to learn about this service? Also, you mentioned a program called TrackIt and some batch files you use for uploading new podcasts to your server. Are these available to the public? Okay, I said two questions, but this is the last one. Smile. If I purchase a domain name, what are my options for making it available online? Like, do I have to have a hosting service or can I host it? How are you doing it? Well, that was a nested question. Grins, guess I got 3 more in. Thanks for all the info. Look forward in hearing more soon. No virus found in...
Okay, Kevin. Actually, what you're looking for on K7 is k7.net. Very cool service. So check that out. Now, I remember Kathy Seven Williams. I hope she's doing all right these days. Every time. No, I won't tell that story. Okay. The Track-It and the batch programs are not publicly available right now. And, you know, we talked about that a little earlier in the show. What your options are for hosting, it is possible to host a machine at your in your home. And that was one I had considered doing. Apparently, though, that some of the providers frown upon that. Some of them actually let you do it. I ended up going with a company that's GoDaddy.com. I think it's only like $3.95 a month for the hosting. Now, that's not going to provide the bandwidth or the storage for the media files, so I'm hosting those on archive.org or on ourmedia.org. They're actually all residing on archive.org. Boy, I see right now we're going to have to hurry up through this. Not to hurry your message, Kevin. But that's what I ended up doing, was purchasing a domain name and hosting services and then using the archive.org for free storage and hosting for the media files. So I hope that helps you out a little bit there.
Dear Larry Squachine, thanks again for placing your order with Musician.
Okay, let's go ahead and get right into the Google stuff. I'm going to take you, the installation on this was so incredibly cool and easy. I'd like to take you through the steps, actually, of finding it, downloading it, installing it, and using it. So let's go to the internet. I'll press the start key.
Start menu.
Down arrow.
Windowize W.
Oops. I don't know why.
Start menu. Internet Explorer.
There we go.
Microsoft Internet Explorer. Google search button.
Okay, so my homepage is Google. If yours isn't, just go to google.com. And there's a tab here.
Google search button.
Or a link, I should say.
I'm feeling lucky. Advanced search preference. Language tools. Google Desktop 2 visited link.
There's Google Desktop 2. So we'll open that link.
One frame. Google Desktop info when you want it. Right on your desktop new. Sidebar link with quick find by downloading. You agree to our terms, conditions, link, and privacy policy.
Okay, so I've already read their terms, conditions, and privacy policy, and I agree to them, so I'm going to go ahead and tab down to the download.
Side terms, privacy, English version 2 beta combo box. Images download gds.gif button.
Download.
MSAA mode off. http://desktop.google.com images download gds.gif button. Cancel. Button. Save as.
I'll
combo.
Save it.
Edit. Close this dialog box.
And
Google.
It was that fast, so I'm going to go to my download
combo.
Folder.
Desktop. Down. Google desk.
And.
Dialog.
Install it.
Run.
We'll pick run.
Down. Google desktop setup.x. Size. 1,353 Google Desktop. Google Desktop Installer. Google Desktop needs to close the following programs. Internet Explorer. Windows Messenger. The installation will not proceed if you choose to cancel. Default. Okay.
Alright, we'll let it close them.
Dialog. Google Desktop Installer. Google Desktop Installer. Preparing configuration.
This is taking actually a little bit longer than it did at work.
Google Desktop Installer. Finalizing install. Microsoft Internet Explorer. To continue. Please set these initial preferences checkbox checked show sidebar or search box show sidebar or search box radio button checked sidebar. Keep an eye on email, news, weather, photos and more in addition to search sidebar. Keep an eye on email, news, weather.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and keep the sidebar up. Jeff Bishop in the Desert Skies podcast asked the question, is this really something useful to somebody that's blind? And no, not really, but it's also not in the way either.
So, checkbox checked, show sidebar or...
Well, I'm going to keep the sidebar.
Radio button checked, sidebar, keep an eye on email, news, web. Radio button unchecked, deskbar, a search box in your taskbar. Radio button unchecked, floating deskbar, a checkbox unchecked, index and search email in my mail account.
I do want to do that.
Checked.
So it'll actually search your Gmail account.
Edit box.
And I believe what it's wanting here is my Gmail information.
Pointer rooted to L, index and search email username.
Yeah. So.
Not a valid key press.
Oops.
MSAA. Set Google as my default search engine in Internet Explorer. Checkbox. Checked.
That really, yeah, that doesn't
password,
really apply to me.
Username. Edit box.
Let's see, let me go back. I think I messed up. Uncle Tech.
Password.
And my password is... Okay.
Set preferences and continue. Button. No one. Button. Google Desktop Initial Preferences Microsoft Internet Explorer. Enable advanced features. Please read this carefully. It's not the usual yada yada. When you use advanced features, you may...
Okay, you do need to read this. I've already read it, so I won't waste your time.
Privacy policy. Enable advanced features button.
And I do want it.
No link or control. De-indexing will be performed only when your computer is... You may continue to use your computer. Go to the Google Desktop Homepage button. MSAA.
Okay. So, what we've got now, we've actually got the Google Desktop search installed, version 2.0. And as you read through the information, you'll find you now have a new hotkey.
8874. Edit box.
Which is Windows G. So I can type any search term I would like. Let's type blind cool tech. Now, if you could see, this is actually like Spotlight on the Mac. It actually provides the information with each keystroke and narrows it down. That doesn't do blind computer users a terrible amount of good. Okay, so I've typed blind cool tech in the search term. I can press the up arrow or the down arrow. Well, I'll be darned. That actually switches you from searching with the desktop or the web. So let me go into review.
Pointer rooted to cursor.
And I'll show you what this sidebar looks like.
Search web blind cool tech.
So we're on search web. I'm going to go up.
Search more. No partial
results. Oops.
No desktop results.
Okay, no desktop results.
Partial results indexing zero complete.
And we're
partial
we're still,
results indexing zero complete.
We're still indexing.
What? Quick my photos. Quick my what's quick photos. Scratch.
Now scratch is something I wish there was a hotkey to.
Scratch.
Scratch is a part of the program that, you know, you can just write things down and it automatically saves them for you. I really wish there was a hotkey to that. In fact, let me right-click on it and make sure there's not.
Scratch. Right.
Mm-mm.
Web clips. News. Email. Jabber OpenAI. Summer fading. Summer fading. Hollywood sees fizzle. New York Times.
I'm going up.
Our media. http://www.ourmedia.org. Media's user 34,000. Be saved automatically. Type notes here. They will.
Oh, I guess Scratch wasn't where you do that. It's here. Type notes
Mail.
Here.
Google. Type notes here. Let's notes.
That's right. Click on that.
Right. Context menu.
Yeah, okay.
Undo you. redo R, cut C, copy O, paste P, clear L.
So it's just
select all A, find F.
Hmm.
Save to file S. Insert date D. Insert time T. Undo U.
So basically provides you some editing and some file saving, but no options for hotkeys or anything. So we'll press Alt to close that menu, and we'll continue.
Insert.
We'll continue looking.
Google. Mail. Sign up for Bosto. May prove too. Longer road. Messages. Indexing mail. Currently. Currently.
Okay, and I don't have my weather on this one yet. I do. I did it work. Let's go back to the
pointer root to cursor.
To the cursor. Okay, and I'll, since it said
Google. One or media.
H Jabro
New Web Scratch Photo Quick What's DJI Weather.
Oh, okay, there's the stock quote.
DJI 10450.
That's kind of cool. Actually, at work, it showed me the plus, you know, the gain for the day, too.
What's?
You can pick which quotes you want to keep a watch on. And it was kind of neat having the temperature right there, too.
Weather.
There it is.
Weather. Weather.
It's just not updated yet. Okay. Just, I guess it just takes it a little bit. So, if I do want to do my Google search, I just press enter. Well, I didn't even need to press enter. That's right.
Insert.
Now you can. That'll take you to the Google web page, though.
Pointer root to cursor. Our media. Summer fading. Jabber open eye. Honolulu. H. Honolulu. H.
What's Honolulu?
Partly cloudy.
Oh. I guess I don't know why I'm getting Honolulu. Maybe I should look and see if it's giving me
Pointer
Lulu.
Pointer root to cursor.
Lulu. Louisville.
Google. Our media. Summer fading. Jabber open. Summer fading. Summer fading. Summer fading. Hollywood sees fizzle. New York Times.
Okay, so I guess the main thing I want to point out is that the quickest way to do a Google search now is just to hit Windows G.
8874. Edit box.
Oh, I bet that 8874 is the temperatures. Let's look.
Pointer root to current weather. DJI 10,000 weather. Weather.
Let's right-click on that and see if there's some options.
Right.
No.
10,004 weather. Left. Right. Weather. 10,450.
Okay, I'll show you the stock quotes, though. I know you can right-click on that.
G. G. Right. 10,004. Right.
Well. Okay. Anyway, that's a look at the Google desktop search. If you want to find something, say we're looking for Albania.
Google. Go to Google Home link, web images link, groups link, news link.
And, of course,
Albania link. Music. Online radio and more. Albania link. Everything to do with Albania.
Okay, Google desktop search, actually, I was using the earlier version too, and it's a whole heck of a lot better than the Windows search tool. Much, much faster. Looks in more things, and this new version of Google actually looks in a lot more file types than the old one did too, including PDFs. Does not do group-wise email, which is what we use at work. Google does provide an API for programmers to add plugins into this search, though. And one of the things that immediately came to mind for me is, well, wouldn't it be cool when you do a Google search, if you could have all your results just in a list box instead of having to tab through those four or five, you know, cache and translate and blah, blah, blah. So that might be something interesting for one of you enterprising programmers to tackle. It looks like it's actually pretty easy to do, too. So that's a quick look and demonstration of the Google desktop search. Let's see where we are on our indexing process here.
8874. Edit box.
I'm assuming that 8874 is the high and the low temperatures for
point
today.
Point of root to 2. Weather. DJI 10. Weather. Weather. Right.
If I can't click on
weather. 10004. Weather. E. A. Right. Left.
Well, so that also gives you a look at some of the accessibility issues with this. And if any of you from Google are looking, I think what would be really cool to be able to switch between these is a Control-Tab or Control-Shift-Tab, maybe Alt-Up arrow and Alt-Down arrow to go between the separate little panes on the sidebar here. Let's hope someone does something about that. Okay, I didn't mean to make that demonstration so short. We are really ran way, way over on time here. I'm going to have to call this show to a close. We've actually got a lot more tech information, demonstrations, and presentations for you. We'll have to save them for another show, though. I'm Larry Skudkin, your host for Edition 86 of Blind Cool Tech. We're on the web at blindcooltech.com. Wow, I love saying that. Our number, if you would like to leave an audio comment that we'll play on the air, unless you don't want us to, and in which case you should let us know that, is 206-984-9203. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you next time, probably a little later this morning on the way to work.
Albania down. Ship confirmation. Inbox Outlook Express. Studio recorder grill light dot wave.
Grill light dot wave. All right, bye, y'all.